I would like to introduce Sankar Rai. He has given me a short intro, and as in a number of other things I've experienced with Sankar, you got a lot packed into a very short introduction. I learned some new things about you in this introduction. So listen carefully as I introduce Sankar. Sankar is a loyal follower of Jesus Christ. I like this next line. A husband madly in love with his wife. Is she here? Yes, there she comes, just in time. And a lifelong student of learning institutions. He prefers looking at the future through an optimistic lens and inputs everything to develop the desired future. He is a pastor now on a long sabbatical from the Bhutanese Nepali Church of Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and Second Church, the Unity Church of Baltimore. He is a founding member of two thriving 501c3 organizations, the Bhutanese Community Development of Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and the Bhutanese Nepali Churches of America. He is currently working towards completing two master's degrees, not one, the Master of Divinity here at the seminary, and also a Master of Arts in Organizational Leadership. Sankar, come and share with us your work.
Good morning, and thank you all for choosing to attend my presentation. I truly appreciate your presence, and it really means a lot to me. Thank you. And I also want to take an opportunity to acknowledge the presence of my beautiful wife here. She has been an extraordinary support in my educational endeavor. If not for her, I would not be standing here. So thank you. In this presentation, I will talk about Bhutanese Nepali Church of Lancaster. Okay, I got what is, I know what it is. Okay, it's working now. Yeah. In this presentation, I will talk about Bhutanese Nepali Church of Lancaster, and by the end of this presentation, I hope you will know who BNCA is, what their faith is, and why do they care about passing their faith to next generation. I also hope our story will resonate with yours in some way. Now, I invite you all to think for a moment. Think about who you are. What your core identity is. The identity that you are very proud of, that you want to treasure for the rest of your life, and that you want to pass down to your children. And now think, how would you feel when you realize your very treasured identity is on the verge of extinction? It is vanishing as you vanish. Let me share a piece of conversation that I had several months ago with a man who realized his identity is vanishing as he vanishes. This man is an old Bhutanese pastor who lives in Atlanta, Georgia. During that conversation, he said so many things to me, but one thing he wanted me to make sure is that I remember his faith journey that started in Bhutan, continued in the refugee camps in Nepal, and now continuing in this country. He told me the stories about his conversion and the persecution thereafter, about the struggles and sufferings, and about the identity that he had found in Christ when he was identityless. After hearing him for a good chunk of time, I asked him, "What's your hope for BNCA?" Hearing my question, he looked down and stayed quiet for some time. And then he looked at my eyes and said, "I wish my hope would come true." He had a serious look on his face, and his voice was unwavering. "You know what our situation was 10 years ago," he continued. "We were invisible and forgotten people. Even the country of our ancestors refused to identify us. We were nobody. Nobody cared about us. But you know what? God cared for us. We found our identity there, the identity in Jesus Christ. We felt accepted and valued in his presence. He opened the doors of opportunities that no man had imagined. He brought us to this country of abundance and opportunity. No one had thought that we would be where we are now. So those days were precious, precious like gold. We have learned so much from those days. We must treasure those moments and pass down to our children, tell them how God cared for us. But as I look forward to our future, it worries me. It worries me deep down in my guts. It worries me because I see our identity slowly fading away. Our stories melting like the melting snow in a steadily growing warm sunny day. It worries me because we are forgetting our God's love. He has now become our second priority. And it worries me thinking we may fail to pass down our faith and our identity to next generation. And his worries was genuine and the reason dignified. I have been bearing the same burden in my heart for several years. One of my greatest concerns in preparing this presentation was to make sure it is relevant in some way that I won't, so that I won't make you feel bored for 20 minutes. To make sure you are not aloof from what I'm about to share, I would like to share few facts from Barna Groups. Here are the five facts. In the last five decades, more people in the U.S. have become churchless than live in Australia and Canada. Barna tracking research has seen significant shift in church involvement over the past decades. During that time, the number of adults who are unchurched has increased by more than 30%, and this is an increase of 38 million individuals. That is more than live in Canada and Australia. Fact number two, the vast majority of America's churchless have attended a church. Very few America's unchurched adults are purely unchurched. Most of them, rather, are de-churched. Only one quarter of unchurched adults, that is 23%, has never attended a Christian church at any time in his or her life other than for several special services such as wedding or funeral. The majority of unchurched individuals, that is 76%, have first-hand experience with one or more Christian churches. And based on that sampling, they have decided they can better use their time in other ways. Fact number three, unchurched people are more likely to be white. Overall, 70% of unchurched in America are white, 21% are Hispanic, 10% are black, and 6% are Asian. Four, the younger a person is, the less likely he or she is to attend a church. Five, the percentage of Gen Z that identifies as atheist is double that of the US general population. Now, if this Barna's research is to be trusted, then what I am about to talk will resonate with you in some way. Who is or who are BNCA? Before I tell you who BNCA is, I must tell something about Bhutan. It is a small landlocked country situated on the lap of Himalayas, sandwiched by Tibet from north and India from three other sides. It is famously known as the land of Thunder Dragon and remained absolute monarchy until July 18, 2008. It is still a constitutional monarchy, by the way. This country, famously known as the last Shangri-La and the jewel of the Himalayas, is home to around 800,000 people. In the global community, it is well known by its romanticized version of country of happiness, as it introduced the philosophy of gross national happiness to the world. Ironically, the country of happiness exiled more than 100,000 of its citizens. That is 1/6 of its total population in the in early 1990s. The voiceless, exiled people who were Bhutanese, the voiceless exiled people were the Bhutanese of Nepali ethnicity, who primarily lived in the southern part of Bhutan. They claimed their settlement in Bhutan to as early as 7th century, but they were forced to become refugees and settled in the refugee camps of eastern Nepal for more than 18 years as forgotten people in a hope to return their homelands, and that hope never came true. So in 2007, 6 European countries, Canada and USA, decided to accept these forgotten people into their country. Out of these 8 countries, the US welcomed the largest number. Thus, the Bhutanese of Nepali ethnicity began to immigrate to the US in 2008 as refugees. And between 2010 and 2014, they were the third largest refugee immigrants entering the country. As of June 20, 2017, according to the International Organization for Migration, 93,322 individuals have been resettled. Some more are coming. And considering this fact, I estimate the current total population to be around 100,000, assuming many children have, from Bhutanese parents have been born since their arrival. The Bhutanese American population is growing rapidly, and the churches in this community are also growing at the same rate. In just 9 years, more than 200 churches have been planted, and the growth of Bhutanese accepting Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior is currently skyrocketing. You can feel the spiritual revival at the peak in this community if you happen to be in touch with them. But will it sustain? It's my biggest question. I wish this growth would sustain up to the next generation, but I don't see to be the case. Though the church quantities are growing rapidly, its quality is compromised. Many critical issues that need our immediate attention are being unattended, and many crucial questions unanswered. We are either busy celebrating our new lives in America or addressing the challenges of our present situations. I firmly believe that we should retain and pass down our stories, the stories of our struggles and sufferings, the stories of unity and solidarity, and the stories of gratitude and optimism in the wilderness. We should pass down our stories of who we are, where we came from, and how we came here. And we should pass down our faith to our next generation, the faith that thrived even in the midst of poverty and privation and persecution. But the growing cultural and language gap between older generation and younger generations, both in homes and in the churches, are telling a different story, very different story. The younger generation have already begun to find their parents' parenting unpractical and pastors' preaching irrelevant. This trend is only going to grow in the coming years. It is a brutal fact, the brutal fact that we must confront. In 2013, I did an informal survey of BNCS pastors and leaders as part of my speaking in a youth conference. That time, I learned that 1%, only 1% of BNCS pastors had master's level education. Less than 5% had bachelor's degree, and a significant portion of pastors was without high school diploma. I also learned more than 75% of our students were joining factories and warehouses right after high school. Those facts were disappointing, and nothing much has changed since then. This is a brutal fact, the brutal fact that we must confront. And as I continue to envision BNCA, I continue to realize how many challenges we have ahead of us. I continue to question how BNCA might look like in 20 years from now. My answers are blurry, and there is no quick way to make it clear. And I know, all I know is that it will be very different. Our needs and challenges will be different. Our vision and mission will be different. And our priorities will be different. Bhutanese brought as children and American-born Bhutanese will be the majority of our population. The culture and language of our congregation will change, and these changes are unavoidable. And it is a brutal fact, the brutal fact that we must confront. Now, I'm not someone who romanticized those good old days and pessimist about the future. I am, in fact, futuristic. The future fascinates me. It energizes me. I get excited to see what the future might hold. But the future of BNCA apprehends me. It apprehends me because the faith and identity that we so dearly hold is missing there. Now you must be asking, what kind of faith is he talking about? Here I want to introduce my brother in Christ, John Munger. I believe his story will give you some sense of faith I am passionate to pass down to our next generation. Pastor John lives in Austin, Texas, with his beautiful wife and three children. He is currently our most sought-after Bhutanese Christian speaker. He travels all over the U.S. speaking in various Nepali conferences and churches. If you ask him what he loves the most, he would unhesitantly and emphatically say Jesus. This man gave his life to Jesus and decided to follow him in 1990 in the middle of jungle of Bhutan. His decision was about to bring catastrophes in his life. And he knew it very well, but he did it anyway. And it indeed cost him his family and his country. His parents kicked him out of their house as soon as they learned that he had become a Christian. A few days later, he was called to the district government office. He went there, and the police beat him severely and gave him the options to either denounce his faith in Jesus and trample the Bible in front of his family members and villagers present there, or be exiled. He chose to be exiled. But his story doesn't end there. He entered Nepal in 1993, and the same year he got arrested with 10 others by the police of Nepal for the crime of preaching the same gospel that separated him from his family and the country. He was given the options to either denounce Christ or be imprisoned. He chose the prison. And this is the faith I am passionate to pass down to my next generation. He is only one of many friends I know with similar stories. I myself grew up constantly reminding that I am a Christian, an outcast, untouchable, a pariah who is not allowed to enter his non-Christian friends and relatives' house. But in all these myths, my love for Jesus didn't decrease a bit. It only increased. And my faith in him grew even more stronger. And this is the faith I am passionate to pass down to my coming generation. I have a deep desire, very deep desire to see healthy Bhutanese American church thriving 20 years from now. But this desire needs some hard work. And I knew I needed to roll up my sleeves, prepare myself, and listen what the voice of God is saying. I needed to create the balcony perspectives and buy some time of solitude where I could envision our promised land. Hence, I'm here. EMS became my place of that solitude where I envisioned my promised land. Now I'm ready to go where I belong, to encourage my fellow BNCA to honestly keep asking, who are we? What are we becoming? And what does the future hold for us? And in light of Barna's five facts, I want to encourage you also to keep asking the same questions. Thank you. Thank you.